the sign that the heart is dead. Is that a person is no longer able to do good deeds, or has a decline in their good deeds? And second sign is that they feel less sin, less shame in doing sin. So the first sign that the heart is dead is that they don't feel sad over the loss of good deeds. They miss tahajjud, they don't feel bad about it. They miss a prayer, they don't feel bad about it. They don't do muraqabah, they don't do tilawat, they don't do istighfar, they don't do salawat, they don't feel bad about it. However, our mashayikh were such that if they ever lost any good deed, they would punish their nafs, and they would cry over that loss. And as Sheikh Ali Samtai has written, that once there was a sheikh and he missed his takbir ula, and he was crying the way somebody would cry if their son died. And he said that if any one of my family members died, how many people would come and offer their condolences to me? How sad it is that nobody offered me condolences that I missed my takbir ula. So this is the death of the spiritual heart that makes a person no longer feel sad over the loss of good deeds. Similarly, that they no longer feel shame over their sins. This is also a sign that the heart is dead. That they do a sin, and instead of feeling shame, they even feel pleasure. They even get happy. This is our real situation now. Should we not be shocked at ourselves that we actually enjoy the sin? And then you want to make dua to Allah Ta'ala and ask Allah Ta'ala to accept your duas. This is almost like a kufr. Or they pray to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala please let her listen to me, let her become mine again. Or a person do sins and then they say Jazakallah to each other. This is how dead the spiritual heart has become that a person doesn't even realize. And what is it that I'm saying? That we're saying Jazakallah after doing a sin? So, we don't feel sad at the loss of good deeds, and we don't feel shame over committing sins. These are the two signs that a person's spiritual heart has become dead. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every person two blessings. One is a heart, and the second is a mind. The heart is the place where we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the mind is the place where we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in our heart, we get Allah Ta'ala inspires our heart with knowledge generally, ijmalan, and then the heart sends it to the mind for processing, for tafsir. So wahi was sent on the heart of the Prophet, because the ijmali ilm comes on a person's qalb. And for tafsir, then the qalb sends that ilm to their akal. Same thing for our zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seat of the zikr of Allah ta'ala is in our heart. That person who is busy in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala gives a person the sweetness and pleasure of the heart. And the heart is the king of the organs of a person. So if all of the other organs get different pleasures, so imagine what pleasure the king of the organ will get, which is the spiritual heart.
Kuch ajab masti hai apne dil ke pehmane ke.
They went to the tavern of the heart because the heart gets a strange intoxication from the remembrance and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being the heart's attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a wondrous thing, that it detaches oneself from interest in both the worlds. So whatever is the state of our heart, the person, when they speak, they will reveal their heart. The clothing will reveal what's in the heart. Their actions and deeds will reveal what's the state of their heart. So a person can assess the state of their heart from their actions, from their words, from their dress, their appearance, their acting, interacting. That's why one Mali said that, just bring any boy to me, young man, and I will, after listening to him speak for 1 or 2 minutes, I will be able to tell you whether he has ever gotten sobat of awliya or not. Just let him speak in front of me for 1 or 2 minutes. It's like the doctor can sometimes look at a person and tell what illness they have. The awliya Allah can tell what spiritual illness a person has. And when we speak, we're actually opening up our reality. Our inner reality is revealed when we speak. And until the person speaks, who knows if he's a vegetable speaker or he's a Sheikh al-Hadith, outwardly they may look the same. But once he starts speaking, then you will recognize and realize who the person is. That's why the Arabs used to say a person is underneath their tongue, means a person is recognized by their words. Speak and you will be recognized. After kufr, disbelief, the greatest sin is to hurt the heart of another person. Whether that other person is a believer or an unbeliever. So after kufr, disbelief, the greatest sin is to hurt the heart of a person, whether that person is a believer or a disbeliever. This is the statement of Imam al-Albani, Mujalla Fasani al-Abdali. And our Mashayikh have mentioned that there are two types of the heart. One is Qalbun Saleem, the pure heart, and the second is Qalbun Saqeem, the diseased heart. Qalbun Saleem is that heart, spiritual heart, which is free from spiritual illnesses and diseases, and doesn't have love, unlawful love for ghairullah, doesn't have lustful, romantic, fantasy love. And Qalbi Saqeem is that heart which is diseased. And we have illnesses in our spiritual heart. What is the proof? Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, "Fi qulubihim maradun fazadallahu anhum," that they have spiritual diseases in their heart and Allah Ta'ala increases them in their illnesses. So then it comes in our mind that there must be some test to tell whether our qalb is healthy or sick. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that in the Quran as well, that, O wives of the Prophet, if you need to speak to any non-mahram man due to some necessity, then while you speak to him, you should keep your tone stern, lest don't soften your voice and make it alluring and attractive, lest that person in whose heart has spiritual illness will have lustful attraction towards you. So when you speak to a non-mahram woman or looking at a non-mahram woman, do you have lustful attraction? That's a sign that you have illness in your heart. So now we can all ask ourselves, how many of us are sick? Allah mashallah. Except for very few. Every person has havas, has a uncontrollable, unsatisfiable desire for more women. So it's only when a person does a lot of zikr that they can get cured of the spiritual illness. And some have said that there's another. Some have made a different classification of hearts. One is called Qalbi Ghafil, the heart that is distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qalbi Munib, that heart that is always inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah ta'ala said in Quran, that they bring to Allah ta'ala Qalbi Munib, they bring to Allah ta'ala a heart that is inclined towards Him. Then there's another classification. One is kalbi mayyit and one is kalbi hayy, the dead heart and the living heart. That person whose heart is filled with love for the world, that's a dead heart. And that person whose heart is free from love for the world, that is a living heart. Sayyidina Rasulullah has given signs of this in hadith, that if that when your good deed makes you happy and your sins make you sad, that is a sign that you have iman. So a person's heart should be happy when they do good deeds, and a person's heart should be sad when they do sin, sad and ashamed. Hasan Basri Abdullah used to say that there are several causes to make the heart sick. That the facade, the corruption of the heart is due to six reasons, six things that will make the heart dead. Number one is that the person makes a sin with the intention that I'll do tawbah for it later. So it doesn't even just think I'll do sin on top of it, he does sin with the niyat of that I'll make tawbah later. That afterwards I'll make myself from the group of salihin. So let me just do it one time. Let me do it just one more time. Let me do it just one last time. All of this continues and he keeps sinning over and over again repeatedly. And the person thinks, okay, now I've made niyat, I'm not going to do that sin again. Just this one last time, then I promise I won't do it again. So this is the first sign that a person's heart has become dead. Second, acquire knowledge but they don't practice upon that knowledge. They get ilm but they don't do amal on that ilm. Or if they do amal on it, they practice it, they don't do it with sincerity, with ikhlas. And they eat the risk of Allah Ta'ala and they don't do shukr to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And they're not happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, with what Allah Ta'ala has given to people or themselves. And they bury their dead, but they don't take any lesson from it. They're unmoved by the act of burying the dead. Hasan Basri said that that person who takes his father's janazah on his shoulder and buries his father and his life doesn't change, that means his heart is dead. What greater advice could a person give? What greater advice could you heed than the passing of a dear relative? Ibn Qayyim Rahimahullah, he also mentioned signs of a dead heart. He says that the first sign is that you prefer the fani world, the temporal world, to the baki world, the akhirah. So you prefer worldly things to afterlife things. So if he doesn't prefer the akhirah to the world, that means his heart is dead. Second, that he has a lot of love for makhluk in his heart. This is also a sign that the heart is dead. And you will find in the young men and women of today they have this problem, might spread. They always have already given their heart to some person. Their heart is attracted and infatuated with some person. They've broken their heart into pieces. One piece they give to this one piece they give to some other one. The third thing is that when they sin, they get happy after the sin. And the next sign is that they don't enjoy a'mal salih, they don't enjoy ibadah, they don't enjoy acts of virtue, they don't enjoy muraqabah, they don't enjoy tasbihat, they don't enjoy tilawat, and it's difficult for them to do it. And they don't like to receive nasiha from people. They view that person as their enemy if that person tries to advise them and give them counsel. Now this death of the spiritual heart, that there is a way this happens. It's not that you do one sin and it dies instantly. No. There will be different ways that that spiritual heart dies. And they will do different sins and then eventually then their heart will die. For example, they will misdirect their gaze. That will cause their heart to die. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, are you not stunned at that person who makes their whims and desires their God, even though they have knowledge? Then Allah Ta'ala will put a seal on their heart. In our society in Akshamadina, there was a Khwaja Abdul Khalik, Khwaja Abdul Hasan Khanakani, they used to say that dead is that heart who has any love for any unlawful love for ghairullah. That if they have love for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means their heart is dead. No matter how much ibadah they may do. So dead is that heart that has love, unlawful love for ghairullah, no matter how much ibadah they do. Their cause for the death of the heart is to misuse the tongue. And you should make sure that you make a lot of zikr, because if you speak a lot without zikr, then it will harden your heart. So if you have long conversation without mentioning zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those long conversations will be a cause of hardening our hearts. It comes in a hadith that the more you laugh, that excessive laughter will cause the death of the heart. Hasan Basri Ahmadullah used to say that from the signs that Allah Ta'ala turned away from his slave is that Allah Ta'ala makes that person busy with things that don't concern them at all. Third is that a person misuses their hearing, so that they listen to such things and it has a bad effect on their ear. So they listen to music. So in hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that by listening to music, the person's heart gets so inclined towards zina. Just like when rain falls on the ground is inclined to give fruit and crops. So that person who enjoys music, their heart will become dead. Next is that if some haram food or food from haram income goes into their stomach, that can also be a cause of the spiritual death of the heart. Or to have impure thoughts in your mind. Many young men have this problem. That in their fantasizing, in their mind, they're always thinking about some girl. And the Mashayikh say that such imaginations have such a negative effect on a person more than any other sin they do, because their mind is always thinking about some unlawful relationship. And that causes the heart to die. Sayyid Usman Ghani Ratanai said that being worried about the dunya all the time, this will also cause a darkness to come on the heart. The sixth thing is to spend time with the people of ghafla. So that if you keep sobat of ghafleen, that will also cause the spiritual heart to die. She said, that don't spend time in the gathering of the people who pursue idle and vain pursuits, because that will lead to the death of your heart. Ibrahim bin Adamnatha used to say that don't spend time with the people who fulfill their desires and follow their desires and pleasures, because indeed if you spend time with them, it will take out the iman that is in your heart. That being with them, it will suck out the iman in your heart. Seventh is fighting. Even if the person is fighting over deen, it will make the person's heart dead, let alone if they're fighting over dunya. Imam Malik said that fighting in matters of deen no, one is okay to have a reasoned argument based on proofs, that's separate. But having arguments and disputations in matters of deen, such that you have a fight, that also makes a person's heart dead. Then next cause is love for the dunya, will make the person's heart dead. Malik bin Dinar said that I asked Hasan Basri that how will an alim get punishment? So he replied that the punishment that Allah Ta'ala gives an alim is that his spiritual heart is made dead. So they said, what does it mean for the spiritual heart to be dead? And he said that it means that this person will no longer have the peace in Akhirah, and instead they will be trying to find happiness in this world. Next is it to leave Salah, start praying Salah, that will make your heart dead. Comes in Hadith that that person who leaves their Salah deliberately, who leaves Jummah Salah three times consecutively, three Fridays consecutively, Allah Ta'ala seals their heart. A person who does takabbur, who has fakhr, ujub, who has pride, vanity, conceit, that will make the person's heart dead. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, such does Allah Ta'ala seal the heart of that every person who has takabbur. So the spiritual death of the heart takes place in stages. So what's the first thing that happens and the next thing that happens? So we should remember these first. That when a person does sin, that a black spot comes on his heart. And when he does a good deed, it gets washed away. If he does sin, again the stain comes. So these stains that come on the person's heart, they are the first stage of a person's heart becoming dead, that it becomes darkened, it becomes stained. That's why our mashayikh say that if the person's heart is hard, then it's foolish to be attracted to the white face, which has a stained, sin-stained heart. And it would be better that they stain their face instead of that they stain their heart. So the first level on the way to the dead heart is that this heart becomes stained. Second is that the stain becomes rust. So Sayyidina Sussam said in Hadith that indeed these are spiritual hearts. They become rusted just like iron and steel becomes rusted. And it comes in Quran, Kallam balana ala qulubihim, that indeed that the things that they used to do, they cause a rust to come on their spiritual heart. So both of these things come on a heart. Ran means rust, and ghain means forgetfulness. So these two things come, rust and forgetfulness.
So,
So the first stage was the heart to be stained with sin. Second stage was that stain to become so much it becomes rust. And the third stage is that the person's heart becomes hard. Kasawat. And this hardness of the heart comes when a person repeatedly remains ghafil. So the Bani Israel had this problem that they were ghafil from Allah Ta'ala for so long, that's what caused their heart to become hardened. So if for a long period of time they remain distant from Allah Ta'ala, this will also cause the heart to become spiritual heart to become dead. Then after it becomes hardened, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that their hearts became hardened after that, such that they were hardened like rocks, even they were more hard than rocks. And if a person makes a pledge and promise and breaks it, that also causes their heart to spiritual heart to die. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that they broke their pledges and promises and covenants, so again their hearts became hardened. And it comes in hadith that the first level was stain of the heart, second was that it to become rusted, third was that it to become hardened, and fourth, that Allah Ta'ala seals that heart. Khatamullah ala qulubihim. Allah Ta'ala sets a seal on their heart and puts veils on their heart. So this is the fourth stage. And then the final stage is that Allah Ta'ala locks the heart. Allah says that don't they reflect on the Quran, or are there locks that have been set on their heart? So when the lock is set on the heart, that's the final stage, that now the heart has become spiritually dead. And this spiritually dead heart, you cannot call it a heart even, you must revive it. And this is what the believer must do. And many times, a person drags themselves around as if they're in the grave. They're like a living corpse. They're just a walking, talking corpse. Like the poet said, that even that person who dies, that the real corpse are the ones who are walking and living. The corpses were amongst the walking and living. To that person who dies, you don't call him a corpse. The real one corpse is the one who's walking and living amongst the people and his heart is dead. So what we learned from now is that there are different reasons for the heart to become dead. And the heart can also be revived. It's not that this is an irreversible process. It is reversible. And the heart can be revived. And these stains can be removed. This hardness can be softened. The rest can disappear. So what are the actions and causes that will cause that process to be reversed? First thing is that the heart should have a realization that I've reached such a devastating state of loss. And the person who was left back from the caravan, at least their heart felt remorse that they were left back. So there are some points mentioned as to how we can revive the heart. Number one is nadamah, the person should have shame and remorse over their sins. And he gives a proof from the hadith that this anxiety over sin, this shame over sin, this brings to light the heart, illuminates the heart. So crying is the sustenance of the heart. Shame is the sustenance of the heart. Second is to stay away from further sin. And that person who stays away from sin, his heart will become softened. So once you leave sin, Allah Ta'ala will soften the heart. That person who lowers the gaze for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will bequeath them the sweetness of Iman in their heart. That person who will take his eyes away from the non-mahram, Allah Ta'ala will give him sweet pleasure in his ibadah, and actually the sweetness of the pleasure of ibadah is the nur of the spiritual heart. So to lower our gaze from the non-mahram will bring the heart back to light and life. Then kasrat zikr, to make a lot of zikr of Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet said that for each and everything there is a polish, and the polish of the heart is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then itlawat of Quran, reciting Quran. There comes a hadith that when the rust comes on a heart, just like rust comes on steel. So the Sahaba asked that, O Prophet, then what is the way to remove the rust that comes in the heart? O beloved Messenger, how can we remove the rust that comes on the heart? And what can bring the light back to the heart? So the Prophet said, Tilawat al-Quran, recitation of Quran. So this recitation of Quran has come, this Quran has been revealed to revive the dead hearts. That's why this is one of the names of the Quran, is Ruh. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that we have indeed revealed to you the Ruh. So just like the body needs a Ruh to make the body alive, just like that the spiritual heart needs the Ruh to make the heart alive. Abdullah said that recite and read the Quran and you will find movement coming into your heart. Sayyidina Usman Ghanata used to say, that if your hearts have become so darkened, if only your hearts were pure from the effect of sin, then you would never get full of reciting Quran. You would always want to keep reciting Quran. Next is that if a person remains hungry, giving that hunger, nafil fasting, that will bring light and life back to the heart, spiritual heart. Next is that a person should pray tahajjud and make dua tahajjud. That will bring light and life back to their heart. And the next is they should keep sohbat of the salihin. That will bring the heart back to light and life. The qalb of a mu'min is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, all of the heavens and earth were not wide enough to contain you, Allah Ta'ala. It's just the heart of the believer that can be your home. And to let anyone reside in your heart, then your heart will have to be incinerated with the jalwa or the tajalliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He did on Mount Tur. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked for us of our heart. Allah ta'ala says in Quran that on that day nothing will benefit you except if you bring to Allah ta'ala a pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
This heart is the place through which the tajalliyat of Allah Ta'ala pass. Therefore, it resembles the Kaaba in that way. If a question arises that if the qalb is the home of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then why doesn't Allah Ta'ala make it clean Himself? So the ulama give the answer that if you make a house and then rent it out, so the person who is living on rent of the house, it's his job to clean it. So our body and life is an amanat, and we are the temporary caretakers of it. So therefore, as the caretakers, it is our duty to keep the heart clean. And it's strange that every woman is willing to spend few hours a day to clean the house, vacuum cleaning, dusting, cleaning the carpet, etc., etc. So if she's willing to spend hours to clean her outward, physical, apparent home, why doesn't she want to spend hours cleaning the inner spiritual home upon which falls the gaze of Allah Ta'ala? It comes in hadith that home in which there are pictures, the angels of mercy won't enter into that home. So then our mashayikh, they said that if in a home the angels of mercy, if in a home there's a picture, angels of mercy won't come. So if somebody in their heart has imprinted the images of non-mahram women, how will the mercy of Allah come into that heart? So we have to remove these images and memories from our heart so that we can get the mercy of Allah back into our heart. We have seen that people don't like to put milk in a dirty glass. Just like that, Allah Ta'ala is not going to put the love for Him and the nur of nisbat into the heart that is dirty with love, unlawful love for ghairullah. Allah Ta'ala will want first that the person should clean their heart. Just the way, the same way that Abraha, who was an unlawful tyrant, he tried to go and conquer and take over Baytullah. So just like that, Shaitan is like the tyrant, like Abraha. And he is trying to march and take over our spiritual heart. And we have to protect our Baytullah, which is our heart, by doing zikr of La ilaha illallah. And there Allah Ta'ala sent the birds to send stones to protect the Baytullah Kaaba from Abraha. And we have to do the zarb of La ilaha illallah. It will fall like arrows on Shaitan who is trying to take over our heart. Allah Ta'ala has purchased from a person their body and their wealth, but He doesn't mention anywhere that He has purchased from them their heart. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran that Allah Ta'ala has purchased from the believers in exchange for their lives and bodies and their wealth, Jannah. But the question is, why did Allah Ta'ala use the word heart, that He's purchased the hearts from the believers? So ulama said, because the heart is already waqf for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is waqf cannot be bought or sold. So that's why Allah didn't mention it. It means that the heart is Allah Ta'ala's already. There's no question of buying it. It already belongs to Allah Ta'ala. What was left, it was your body and your wealth that was yours. Allah Ta'ala chose to buy that. Now understand that there's a master key. So Allah Ta'ala has the master key. That person who owns the heart, the person who owns the home, will always have the master key. So this is a proof that our heart is the home of Allah Ta'ala, because He has the master key to our heart. Allah Ta'ala made Jannah, He gave the key to the angel. Allah Ta'ala made Jahannam, He made the key to the angel, another set of angels. He made the Kaaba, He gave the key to Bani Sheba. He made the qalb of a person, He made the key between His two fingers. So Allah Ta'ala controls the key to a heart. He can change it as He wants. As He wants, He will change the condition of a person's heart. So He kept the key in His control. That is the proof that the heart is the home of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now question that if our home belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if we clean it, question arises that if we keep the heart clean, shouldn't we get a reward for that? So what is the reward for keeping your spiritual heart clean? What is the reward for keeping your spiritual heart clean? So the Mashiach have written that if you keep your spiritual heart clean, the reward is you will get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The cleaner your heart is, the more you will be able to have inner perception and insight. And just like a person can have sharp vision, and the better vision they have, the better they can enjoy a beautiful sight. And that person has blurry vision, he can't even appreciate the beauty of a flower because the vision is blurry. A person who has color blind, he won't be able to see the color of the flower, he won't be able to appreciate its shades. So anybody who has impaired vision will not be able to appreciate the beauty of it properly. But if a person has perfect, sharp vision, then they will be able to appreciate the beauty. Just like that, the person whose heart is pure will have sharp vision to see Allah Ta'ala. If they had a bit of dirt on their heart, they will see Allah Ta'ala in a blurry way. If they had more dirt on their heart, they will see Allah Ta'ala in a more blurry way. And if their qalb is entirely dirty, they will not be deprived of seeing Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Just like a person gets blinded in their physical eye, so spiritual heart will get blinded. That's why Allah Ta'ala gave this promise, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٍ, and we will give them more. Who? That person who brings to Allah Ta'ala قَلْبٌ مَنِيبٌ, a penitent heart. So not everybody will get this didar, vision of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Those people who bring to Allah Ta'ala a pure heart will get the vision of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We've seen in our homes that they're big chests in which people store the winter blankets and pillows. Nobody bothers to put a lock on that. Why? Because those things don't have much of a value. But there's a small jewelry box that a woman has, and she will put a lock on the jewelry box. Then in the drawer she puts it in, she will put a lock on that. Then the closet will have a lock on it. Then the room will have a lock on it. Then the house will have a lock on it. So for the small little jewelry box, because it's so important, there will be so many locks. Why? Because it's valuable. It has diamonds, it has gold. So the rule is then that the value of any box is based on how valuable is the item inside the box. So our body is like a box. And if we filled our heart with love for the dunya, then there's no value to that. So there's no value to us. So what value will such a person have in Akhirah? But if in our heart we have filled it with the pearls and gems of love for Allah Ta'ala and Deen, then our bodies become like a jewelry box, and Allah Ta'ala has a lot of priceless value for this person on the Day of Judgment. Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah used to say, that upon me their clothes, and if I was to sell those clothes, then you will find that the value or price you would get for the clothes is not even one dirham. Means I'm wearing random clothes. But inside these clothes of mine, there is a being. And if you were to... But this life being underneath the clothes, if you were trying to get the price of this, all of you together, you cannot pay the price for this soul. To Shahulayalamadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhadhad of your treasures and jewels and gems and gold and silver is nothing compared to the heart of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you could spend all of your treasure, you will never be able to buy this heart. So the heart becomes priceless in Allah Ta'ala's regard. Therefore we should clean and purify our heart. Sayyidina Rasulullah explained it to us clearly, that indeed in the body of every single child of Adam is an organ. If it is sound, if it is corrupt, the whole body will be corrupt. If it is sound, the whole body will be sound. Know well that that is the qalb, the spiritual heart. So when the spiritual heart is dead, then the person will be sinning. And last thing, Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah said something that we should listen to it carefully. He said, that the state of a person in their grave will be the state of his heart in his breast. So the state of the person in their grave, the hal of the abd in their qabr, will be in the hal of the qalb in their sadr. As was the condition of their heart in their breast, will be the condition of that person in the grave. So if our heart was dead in the breast, then we will be dead in the grave. And if our heart is alive in the breast, then we will remain alive in our grave. That's why the awliya Allah, they're alive in their graves. And the real followers of the Prophet ﷺ, their kafan doesn't even get dirty by being buried in the grave. So this is the need that we have to purify our heart. May Allah Ta'ala accept us and grant us ability to work on our heart. One poet, he said, that the sign of the death, spiritual death of a heart. So Ibn Taala's Kalinat, I said that the sign of the spiritual death of the heart, that if he loses good deeds, he doesn't get sad, and if he commits sins, he doesn't have shame. May Allah Ta'ala give us true value for good deeds, and so that we feel loss over them, and may He give us true shame over sins that we are terrified of committing them. Akhra da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. You're welcome. سبحان الله ربنا الله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Our kind and generous Rabb, we are your weak and sinning servants and slaves. Forgive us for our sins, overlook our faults, conceal our shortcomings. Yet in Bikareem, the stain of sin has made our hearts dead, has made our hearts blind. Yet in Bikareem, revive our dead hearts. Yet in Bikareem, make them alight again. Yet in Bikareem, grant us the pleasure and enjoyment of Ibadat again. Grant us humility in our Salah. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq to pray tahajjud and make dua to you in the end of the night. Ya Allah, cast the gaze of your mercy on our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever sins we did in the day, forgive them. Forgive us for the sins we did at night. Forgive us for the sins that we did openly. Forgive us for the sins that we did secretly. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for the sins that we remember. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for the sins that we forgot. Ya Rabbi Kareem, cast your gaze of mercy on us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make our future life better than our past one. Make this, Ya Rabbi Kareem, this month of Ramadan is slipping away from us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, there are just few days left. Ya Allah, we brought many hopes and dreams to this itikaf, that we would come here in itikaf and we would purify our heart, and the time is slipping away. Ya Rabbi Kareem, nothing is going to happen from our own deeds. It is only going to happen if you decree it, if your mercy comes on us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, send your mercy on us needy ones. Ya Allah, shine our hearts, polish our hearts, nourish our hearts, nurture our hearts. Ya Allah, we are needy of you, we are dependent on you, we are beggars of you. Ya Allah, we ask that you send your mercy on our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, out of your mercy, accept these duas of ours. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us that which we have asked. Whatever we should have asked, we didn't, grant us that as well. Ya Allah, whatever anyone has a sincere, heartfelt, pure desire, Ya Allah, grant all of our sincere, heartfelt, pure, illicit desires. Wa sallallahu ta'ala bi sallam. رحمتك يا رب العالمين